I am unashamed. What about you?
Well, if for you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm being kind to you this morning. If you want to know what the current status of this particular group is, we have just fulfilled biblical texts to the letter. The information and the text that we fulfill this morning, the Apostle Paul spoke about this, and so did Peter. Noon the following day, they were approaching the city. Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. While the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. We have one of the apostles who's fallen into a trance. He saw, during the trance, heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to the earth by its four corners. It's a movie screen. It's dropping out of heaven. Y'all have the little mini movie screens all the time. It didn't drop out of heaven, but God gave you the ability to create that phenomena.
It's kind of like a drive-in movie screen.
So in this case, here comes a giant movie screen coming out of the heavens. It contained, amazingly, all kinds of four-footed animals. Well, add them up. Elephants, giraffes, bears, deer, squirrels, rabbits, four-footers. One, two, three, four. Count them. Four-footed animals, that covers a lot of ground, as well as reptiles of the earth, and birds of the air. Well, now we're talking ducks, geese, doves, quail, pheasants, and a variety, woodcocks, and a variety of geese, birds of the air. It's on the movie screen. What in the world? Peter's looking, a Jew of Jew who has been under strict food laws for 1,500 years. We're better than these Gentiles because we have food laws and they don't. That bunch will eat anything. Against the law of Moses, we can't break the code. We have to be careful of what we eat. You can't eat meat, you can't eat it. A voice from heaven after Peter saw the four-footed animals, reptiles of the earth, and birds, a voice from heaven said, here's when we come in. Kill and eat. Get up. So last night we slept. Then we got up and we killed, not our fellow man, never. We got up and we killed four-footed animals, in this case, birds of the air. Eat, sleep, go kill some ducks. Repeat that. Eat, sleep, go kill some ducks. Fulfill the text. Eat, sleep, kill the ducks. We do it. Yesterday, we did it yesterday, the day before yesterday, we did it today. We're fresh out. They were still coming in.
Yeah, they actually didn't move.
They didn't move till up in the morning. We're waiting for the birds of the air to appear like they did, coming out of the skies on a movie screen 2,000 years ago, and we looked up and said, it's a replay of the movie Peter saw.
But that'd be like Heavenly Geographic. You know how they have National Geographic?
They'll be Heavenly Geographic.
So when all the naysayers, they say, oh, you shouldn't eat meat, you shouldn't hurt the poor little creatures, you say, non-Christians, just fallacy, something they made up.
But we have pets. We don't eat them all.
But they say to us, our truth says you can't kill animals. I said, how long has your truth been around? Well, I was in college 4 years ago, and my professor told me that we're not allowed to kill birds of the air. And I'm like,
Phil,
so your writings.
They're doing that because they believe they're eating themselves, because they say we're all animals.
That's right. That's how confused they are. So their truth is based on something that some college professor said 6 years ago. Our truth dates back 2,000 years ago. And you
creator.
Go back further than that with the food laws, you say, it'd been around since 1,500 years before Jesus showed up is when the law was given with the food laws in that. Catfish, that's out. Can't eat them. Now they're in. Birds are there. Everybody's particular about all what they eat, what they did. It makes them look better if they say, well, if I don't eat meat, that I'm a better person than you are. But the Bible says kill them and eat them. So we eat this week. We've had baked ducks. We've had duck and dressing. We've had duck gumbo. We have had duck wraps, cream cheese in the middle, jalapeno peppers, wrap them nice.
We had the duck strips that you fried.
The duck tenders.
Yeah.
We stripped the breast. We punch it and we, what do you call it?
Tenderize it.
We tenderize it. Then we cut it up in three strips, soak it in buttermilk overnight. When you get up the next morning, drain the buttermilk off. Get you an egg wash. All you need a little salt and black pepper on them. Get you an egg wash. Three eggs. You whoop that. You put them from the buttermilk into the egg wash. Roll them around. Dump a lot of flour on it. Roll them. Have your peanut all on. You fry them quick. About a minute. You come out golden brown. You come out. Have a pretty hot fire. And when people start eating them, they can't get off of them. I'm just saying, we're fulfilling the text. Biblical. You say, was there at any time during the course of arising, killing birds and eating them, was there any profanity coming out of anybody in the blind? That'd be negative. You say, was there anybody
was
got
though.
Irate and mad and jealous and hatred? And no.
No. We had a little bit of mad yesterday, but
Y'all gotten into it before. I know you and Si got tangled
We
up.
Got into one yesterday. It wasn't mad. It was just an argument. I didn't want to go where we went.
Yeah.
And Jay, this is hindsight's 2020. Jay told Phil and Si that I wanted to go here, I'm presuming. And he told the opposite. He told them I wanted to go, and he told me they wanted to go. The bottom line is, he wanted to go there. So when he left the blind, Phil said, I don't know why you picked this spot. I said, I didn't want to go here. I said, I thought you did. Phil said, I didn't want to go here. And he didn't just blatant lie. He just said, he just manipulated the conversation. So we concluded that I know who wanted to come here, the man that's not into the blind. So, but that was the end of the argument, what led up
Jason
to that.
Describing the duck blind, the duck hunting crew, when they end up at a spot that's not as good as they thought it was. We should have hunted over here, but we didn't. So you have that kind of banter going on.
Yeah.
But it's not a bad way, because if you got them over there three times in a row, pretty good bet you may get them again.
Well, right.
So you're
wind
you're,
direction.
You're
Look.
Strategizing where you're going to get up and go to. Get up. So we all get up, arise, kill, and eat. Well, it's up to us to decide.
Yeah.
When God made ducks, he put some kind of GPS system in them.
Yeah.
They fly from the Canadian prairies 1,000 miles. They never get lost. And you see him coming at an incredible altitude.
Mm-hmm.
In the air, he's a jet. He lights on the water, and he can dive, and now he's a submarine.
Yeah.
And he's a boat for a while, just going right on top of the water. He said, well, let's go under the water. They all go down there 30 feet deep, some of them, do a little eating, come back up, look around. You say, a jet, a boat, and a submarine, one little feathered creature, he's doing 60, 70 miles an hour, and no feathers are blowing off of him.
And people who don't eat them, they feel sorry for him. I'm like, you're underestimating a wild duck. I mean, he does the things you're talking about.
That's
but
correct.
The reason the argument happened is because he compared it to a jet. You know that planes, just like they got this from ducks, they light into the wind. I was on one flight that they tried to light into a crosswind, and it took us three times to land.
Mm.
And we were doing what I would call pie plating, which is horrible.
Yep.
If you throw a pie plate into the wind and watch it, that's what we were doing every time we tried to land. So it was a good faith test. So what I was going to say is, if the wind is in your face, the ducks are going to come in from behind you, and it's not easy for them to light in your decoys.
Harder to harvest.
So when you see me hunting a timber hole on a cloudy day with the wind in my face, that was not my idea. And I was fine. Well, I thought they wanted to be comfortable because it was supposed to rain. Because that's what Jay was telling me. He said, well, it's supposed to rain, and that's the most comfortable blind we got. I said, here was my words. Do you want to kill ducks, or do you want to be comfortable? And he said, they want to be comfortable. So we got in the blind. We hunted. Guess what? We didn't shoot as many ducks as we've been shooting. And then, while Jay was gone, they started blaming me. I said, wait a minute. Y'all the ones over 70 that want to be comfortable. Feels like, what's that got to do with anything? I was told that's why we're here. So then when
back
Jay,
to the point of the program.
Okay.
The point of the program.
I'm just still better about that.
Yeah, the point of the program is simple. Out of all the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of metric tons of turkeys, chickens, fowl, that you can go to the supermarket. They're all nice and arranged on packages. You know, you can get the thighs of chicken or you can get the wings. That's a big thing. Eat the chicken wing. A lot of chicken. The number one consumed bird on planet Earth is duck.
More than really? Chicken?
Duck. Way more than chicken.
You sure about that?
Number one. I've researched it. So you look, you say Asia, you say they go with the ducks. Go with the duck, all these countries. You, and America, too. But you say worldwide, the duck is number one.
That's
so
shocking.
When somebody comes
that
along.
Is shocking.
Yeah, someone comes along and says, you know, why do y'all get them? We said, food stuff. Free-ranging birds.
Well, we need to open
free-ranging
up
a- birds, look. No chemicals, no antibiotics, none of that stuff. Free ranging. The deer we eat, free rangers. There's no manipulation with all kinds of concoctions that they give them and all this stuff. So
except for the farm raised ones.
So when people say, "Well, you like so," other than we eat a lot of veggies. Well, I love you, vegans. We love them. We eat a lot of vegetables, but we also have wild birds and wild game in with that. Well, if you're going to eat birds and game, I think taking them out of nature.
That's the best way to go.
The only way to roll. That's why I'm 74 years old and I don't have an ache or a pain at this particular juncture in my life. You say, on any pharmaceuticals? I said, nope. Wild game. Wild game, wild birds.
But you do take the Omega XL.
That's the Omega XL? Not,
but that's
not
from,
a pharmaceutical. That's not a pharmaceutical.
That's a nutraceutical.
Some kind of
that's shell
mussels
fish.
From
that's
the
muscle
pristine,
the pristine waters.
Muscle oil. Muscle oil.
So where are we at in the text today?
Well, let's take a break and we'll come back to that. Phil, you know you've been targeted several times by social media for being violent.
Really?
Yeah, you have for killing ducks. Actually, cleaning a duck, you got kicked off one or censored one time. Just recently, one of our platforms demonetized one of our episodes of Unashamed for having explicit content. Mm.
Despite the fact that ducks are way better to eat without the feathers.
Well, they said. No, I think they said you guys are using explicit profanity, which I'm like, we've never said a cuss word on the show, but I don't know. But
really,
yeah, it's crazy. But
wasn't me.
That wasn't you. Wasn't any of us. But it's become increasingly more important now to make sure that independent voices are heard, because there is definitely a throttling of content, particularly of this caliber. This year is more crucial than ever. That's why. We're excited to partner with Blaze TV, who has partnered with Pluto TV to find new ways to make sure that conservative voices are breaking through. So go tell your friends, your relatives, or anyone who needs to hear some sanity in an increasingly insane time. You can watch the Blaze Live, their ad-supported 24/7 limited live stream on Pluto TV. The channel is 238, so you can drop in for 250-plus channels of free TV plus thousands of on-demand movies and series. It's all absolutely free at Pluto TV. Drop in. It's free. Go to www.pluto.tv or you can download the Pluto TV app. We are in John 21. By the way, Al's out of town, and so I'm filling in. And you know, every time I do, I get a little bit of negativity on the Unashamed Facebook page. I think I've told you all this, right? We didn't start it.
I didn't know that.
I think it's like a fan page.
Oh, somebody else started?
Yeah, somebody started it.
Is that legal?
Yeah, I think it's legal. Oh, it's pretty cool. It's a good community of
people. Do any of them curse us?
No, they don't. They offer up prayers on there.
Well, they're saying that somebody started the Unashamed. What is it called?
It's just it's a Facebook page, a group of a lot of the people that listen to the show.
Well, what about a guy like me who's never owned a cell phone? How would I get in contact with what you're
I'll
talking
sit
about?
Down with you and I'll show it to you on my phone. You have to
so I'll be able to see what you're talking about.
You'll be able to see it.
Yeah, I know nothing about it.
Yeah, I'll show it to you. But
what am I missing, by the way, by not knowing anything about?
Well,
the
you're
Facebook?
Missing the Unashamed.
Yeah, the fan
What's
page.
It called? Fan page.
I don't know if it's a fan. It's just a group, but they get on there. It's actually pretty cool. They've developed kind of this online community of people. It's probably, I don't know, 20,000 people now.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. Which brings me to a little point. You can. We're in John. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mm-hmm. They all start out with the birth of Jesus Christ. For instance, you take Luke. We're in the back of John. If you take Luke, you turn one page, two page, the boy Jesus, let's see, the birth of Jesus. That's Luke chapter 2. Caesar Augustus was on the throne, like Daniel said in Daniel chapter 2, the kingdom of iron. Here comes Jesus. So the Romans are ruling. Jesus shows up. They teach about the birth of Jesus, and they make it very plain that you had better believe that Jesus was God in flesh. Luke ends it up by saying, if you turn over to Luke chapter 22, 23, 24, Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, according to Matthew, according to Luke, Mark, according to Luke, and now you're in John. And John is fixing to say, well, what happened after Jesus died, was buried, and raised from the dead? John's going to say, he flew away. He flew away.
Yeah.
And you can read about that in Acts 1, because Luke wrote the book of Acts.
I think we've decided to go to Acts after John.
Are
we making that announcement?
I think that's great.
I think it's official.
Wait a minute. I just did.
Should we get Al's input, or since he's
no,
not here?
Al wanted to. Yeah. I think Al's gonna.
No, he sent that to me in the notes.
See, here's what I figured.
Well, is this the only man that's over you as part of the program that could drop the axe on that, or is it? Or would you say I think we go over the Book of Acts, and you say what about it there, Phil? I'm like, I'm good.
I'm good. I mean, we have the good thing about what we do here, talking about this, is we've got the greatest material in the universe.
Oh.
So it makes us look pretty good.
By the way, the first sentence in the book of Acts, in my former book, Theophilus, he's talking to the guy who was there, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven.
Well, we're not there yet.
I know it. But I'm just saying.
Yeah. That goes to what you just said about Luke.
Sure.
So, which is a good point. I'm fine with going through Acts, which Phil quoted the arise, kill, and eat. That's Acts chapter 10. I mean, there's some good stuff in there. But what I was telling Al when he brought this up, because I want to, since Al's not here, I can say this, and maybe he won't know that I'm saying this. But I noticed in Al's preaching, because Al, he simulcasted what he was preaching with what we were doing on the podcast. So I'm like, I get it now. He's getting all his sermon ideas from this brain trust. So
that makes me feel afraid.
It is scary. But he basically minus the nonsense.
I mean, I'm a C-plus man. You've gone to high school. You didn't go to college. So
I went, but I couldn't
IQ
pass.
Wise,
I had 2 years. Classes.
I'm a C-plus man.
But you went to seminary.
I did go to – I got a 2-year degree at a seminary, but I did have Al with me. I mean, look, we would drive, and he would, had his little cards for me. It was literally like I was 10, and he was the father figure, because he just had no problem. But I had trouble, because I didn't like the people I was with. They tended to be nerdy. I loved them, don't get me wrong, but nobody was like me as far as an outdoors person, a hunter or a fisherman.
So the second question is why, because they keep asking this, why does Al and Jep call me Dad and you and Willie call me Phil?
I don't have a good answer for that.
I don't either.
You put me on the spot here.
My name is Phil, so if Jay says Phil, here's what you got to remember.
Which one do you prefer?
It's no preference.
Either way.
No preference.
So I figured there was no preference. So it's kind of like
no preference.
I've never had any stress about getting Phil a birthday present, because how do you feel about birthday presents?
4 or 5 days ago, for the first time in 50 years, I went shopping.
Yeah. I think we – did we tell our viewers that?
I haven't been in a store in 6 years, but –
Did we tell our viewers that you did that or no?
Do what?
Did we tell – have we told –
No, nah, I don't think you have.
But you need to tell this story. Well, now, look, you don't care about getting a gift. But
hold on, let's stop the
press. I just never.
You hadn't heard this?
No. I never thought about it.
Oh, this was hilarious. So we have a birthday party. Mom's birthday is 4 or 5 days for
December 21st.
From Christmas. So we had a party for at Al's. And, I mean, it was a lot of people. You know, despite the coronavirus, we said to heck with it because Kate, she just said, if I die of the coronavirus, y'all don't shed a tear over that fact.
Yeah.
Because she's like, I cannot live. She tried for a while. She would rather die than not be sociable. So, you know what? I think it's America and everybody's got a free spirit. So, and she mainly just stays with family. And I don't know what she does.
She understands the resurrection of the dead, she told me.
She's not going out, you know, shopping or going into places. But she likes to get together with her family. And she's like, that's what I'm going to do. And if I die from that, so be it. So once she said that to me, I was like, so be it. So we had our family there.
Well, y'all all had corona anyways at this point.
Well, Kay hasn't.
Except, I mean, but all the most of the family
we've had
has.
It. She's been around us. Yeah. She hadn't got it. So I don't know. So we're there, and Al comes in and says, we got everybody but Phil. And she's like, well, we don't want him to ruin it anyway. Or so she made some comment like that. Well, as soon as she said that, Phil walked in. He heard her say that. He's like, she was stunned. You can see it on her face. She's like, what are you doing here? And then Phil I didn't know this part. I'd seen him before outside. I was like, what are you doing here? I literally did not know why he was there, even though it was Kay's birthday.
I usually miss the birthday parties.
Yeah, because Phil's not a party.
No, I'm shocked. I'm like, this is shocking me. But
yeah.
He comes in.
So he walks in, and he has a bag, like a – I know what the jewelry bag looks like. And I thought, is he actually fixed and give her? And he gave it to her, and he said, here you go. And she's like, what are you doing? Because this is first time in 50 years, right?
First time.
And so she opened it up, and it was the Saints. What are those called? The Saints symbol. Fleur-de-lis.
The Fleur-de-lis. Yeah.
Is it Fleur-de-lis or Fleur-de-lis?
I think it's the Fleur-de-lis.
Fleur-de-lis.
That was Cole back there, thanks.
Okay.
He didn't trust me, Cole.
So the Saints symbol. And it was a necklace. It was really nice. I know you paid. It wasn't cheap. I mean, it looked. Good. And she
had to be something. Somebody said, you don't even know what to get her. I said, I have no idea.
Well, you walked in and tell them what you said. You said that, look, Phil walked into the jewelry store. We heard this later. And tell, yeah, he went.
Wait. This is the, Trinity? The, Shane Ware?
Phil went in there with Phyllis. I think his new daughter did a little nudging. But he goes in there and tell him what you told the jeweler.
I said, it has to be, I need some jewelry. It has to be something about flowers.
Yeah.
Or turtles. Flowers or turtles. There was one other one.
The football.
Yeah, football. I said it has to be about flowers, football, or turtles.
And they had
and the guy's looking at me, you know, the jury man, he's looking at me. He said, well, let's see here, Mr. I went in there. I said, they said, well, he's not going to come if you're open for business. He's not going to walk in there. So you're going to have to, when you're closed, he'll bring
so
him
you
in.
Went in when they
but
were
he's
closed.
Not coming.
They opened up.
So you make some
you.
Money, but you're going to have to stay open when there's no one in there but him. So they told me, they said, I'm not going about going to some jewelry store. You think I'm crazy? And I said, I haven't been in a store in about 6, 7 years of any kind. So
that's quite an
so the guy agreed to it, and Trinity, I think, was the name of it.
Yeah,
Trinity.
It's a local jewelry store.
Local jewelry store. But anyway,
I know the owner very well, and he called me. I did not. Now I did hear you that you went to the jewelry store. Now that I think about it, he called and told me.
Yeah, you just forgot. Well, that's what he did. So anyway,
but it's my one gift.
Well, now we got to charge him for mentioning their name on the podcast.
We shocked Miss Kay, and because she hadn't received a gift from me.
Oh, she was shocked.
Why not? There's so many gifts going from person to person and all that. I just thought it was a woman's thing. You know what I'm saying? I just thought it was women.
So what is she? Being women. What's her reaction when you gave her
the? She was shocked.
She basically cried.
Yeah. She was so like tears of joy, shock, which it's hard to make Kay speechless, yeah. Especially at this stage of her life.
First of all, I was at a birthday party, and second, I brought gifts.
That's interesting.
Never done that before.
And it was nice. I mean, it wasn't like...
Yeah, no, you went all out.
This wasn't cheapo. You know, I said, yeah, whatever.
I think you're pretty well good to go till the grave.
Yeah, that'll hold me.
You think that was the last one?
Well, if you wait 50 years to give the first one, I don't know if her heart could take any more, you know, because she was so shocked. But it was kind of a beautiful
By the way, man. Dan, the eunuch, he's the one that said... He calls me Dad sometime. You know, he said, make sure it's either the turtles or the flowers or the...
Yeah.
You know.
So even though you started this off talking about we eat all these crawlers or, you know, things with feet and winged animals, Kay does have a fetish for pet turtles. So...
Well, let's take a
lot of little emblems about turtles.
Let's take a quick break.
Well, what I found in duck season is you got to have your rest because it becomes a grind. So one of the greatest partners that we've had in this venture is me getting to know the bunch from Helix Sleep because I love their products.
Well, they personalize their mattresses. They're made right here in America. And they're shipped straight to your door. Did yours come right to your house, I guess, right?
Right to the. I filled out a little form, and I mean, it was like, I don't know, 6 or 7 questions. Yeah. Do you like, you know, firm, whatever. I can't remember the questions.
But they hit it right?
Perfect.
That's awesome. It's free, no contact delivery, free returns, and you get a 100-night sleep trial. If you don't like it, you can send it back. To choose the mattress, Helix gives you that quiz that you talked about. It takes about 2 minutes to complete. It matches your body type and your sleep preference to the perfect mattress for you. If you like a mattress that's really soft or firm, or if you sleep on your side or your back or your stomach, or if you sleep really hot, with Helix there is a specific mattress for each and everyone's unique taste. You took the quiz, and you were Matt Jace, and it was matched with the Midnight Helix mattress. That's the one you got, Jace.
I like it.
Midnight Helix mattress because you wanted something that felt, I guess you're looking for the medium one, and you sleep on your side, right?
Yeah.
I got all that in the notes here.
So, at first you're like, I mean, should I tell them that which side I sleep? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/unashamed. That's Helix, H-E-L-I-X, sleep.com/unashamed. For up to $200 off. By the way, Cole just put on our screen up here that we did film that. So we have Kay's reaction on film.
Somebody filmed that?
Yeah, there was a film crew.
I didn't see the film crew.
You got to go to blazetv.com/fill and you can get the. I think it's it on the.
Are you sure somebody filmed it?
Well, he just put it on the screen.
They found it because
I was there. I never saw a cameraman. Do you saw me?
No, we didn't film it in the. We didn't film at the party.
Oh, people with cell phones.
We filmed Phil at the
jewelry store.
Oh, they filmed.
So it's on the is it on the in the woods, right?
They told me they were going to film it, but
yeah, it's not
we're
up filmed
so much. I just said, well, okay. Whatever they think.
It'll be up sometime soon. We're gonna talk to Miss Kay about it and stuff and put an episode together.
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
This voice, we need a name for Cole.
I just thought about it. He's going to be like that sidekick guy.
We had to clarify because people, since we're talking about God and God, we didn't want to give the impression that that's the voice of God.
No, it's not the voice of
by
God.
By the way, just you say, so what's the point of all this?
That's a very good question at this stage.
The point is like this. It's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It's the gift of God. So if you look at the gift God has given his people, his grace, mercy extended toward us because of our faith in Jesus. If you look at that, you say, you know what? We need to be, I thought to myself, I had given that woman a gift. I need to give her
that
a gift.
That was a good thought, Phil.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Dan said, make sure it's about turtles or you know, the whatever the three things were. He's the one that said that to me.
And football, I said, turtles, and flowers.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah, football, turtles, and flowers. Yeah, but Dan said that because he's the one that does a lot of shopping on behalf of Miss K. He's Miss K's butler. So you see what I'm saying?
So you brought in an expert.
Yeah.
He
was the one saying, well, here's
that's impressive.
I said, what was she like, Dan? Mm-hmm. I mean, you shop for her all the time. And she said, well, I tell you what. And then he brought up, you know, the turtles and the flowers and whatnot.
You meant tell you my wife's response?
Did she cry too? And she said, oh.
No, she didn't cry. She said, there is a God.
Well, it is pretty incredible to think about the power of progressive sanctification, that over a period of time, how God can change a person. You are not the same man.
That is one thing.
That's right.
I would have lost money if a bet would have come up. I would have never thought that you would have done that. Too much water under the bridge.
Well, I think it's cool, too. I mean, what do you know?
Maybe the younger married people, all family members here, and every one of them, we're all Christians, a whole bunch. Yeah. I mean, down to the great-grandkid all the way. But I don't know how that impacted them, but they seemed to be moved by it.
Yeah.
But I just...
Well, most people feel...
I was right there in the group, and everybody got quiet because they said, you know, in a worse field, you know, they planned that. Al and them was playing tricks on her. Well, she was over here talking to somebody else, and she said, well, you know, probably we'd be better off with Adam tonight, you know, because he doesn't like to come to get... I walked in, and she screamed.
Yeah.
He couldn't ask for a better setup.
See, hey, most people, look, when I was about 5 years into marriage. We had no money. You know, we were just scraping by. And so one year for Christmas, 5 years in, I say, what you want for Christmas? And she said, look, money's tight. Let's just not get each other anything. I was like, all right, now that, okay, that's good thinking. Mm. I mean, that's a way to be sacrificial. So when Christmas Day hit, well, she handed me a present.
Well, yeah.
So I opened it up. I thought, what happened to this? She's like, well, I couldn't help it. Well, I didn't have a present. I mean, you tell me.
You got yours. Where's mine?
Oh, guess what happened?
She got mad.
Tears.
Oh, yeah.
Tears, then, I wouldn't say mad, but
hurt.
Frustrated. Hurt.
She was hurt.
So look, it's been, now we're here in 30 years now. So this year, I said, what do you want for Christmas? The first time in 25 years since then, she said, let's not get each other anything. I said, great. Okay. You know, we're living in two different places. It's chaotic. You know, what do we need anyway? Fine. Well, I went to the same jewelry store. I acted like that conversation never happened because I've learned. I'm getting a present. I bought her a little. Look, not something elaborate, but a little simple cross necklace, few little diamonds in there. And so I wrapped it up, and when it came Christmas Day, of course, she handed me a present. I was like, yeah, that's what I thought. You know, she got me a thermos.
You got
and
her
I said,
thermos bottle.
She did, which is good.
Yeah. She didn't. She didn't bust the bank over.
No. But we said we weren't going to get each other.
But you knew this time.
So I said, well, yeah. I didn't get you anything. She's like, that's fine. But I could tell from the tone. And so I waited a couple hours, let it just marinate.
Let it simmer.
And I said, oh, yeah, I did forget. I did pick you up one little thing. And I had taken all, like, the bag away. It was just a little box. She's like, huh, where'd you get this box? That was her first question. She popped that thing open. Was like, what? Oh, look, tears. See, now we have tears.
Yeah, this is what
joy.
You call it. This is Jace messing with missing.
This is how you play the game. Well, I'm saying now that you bought a gift, I'm giving you, you're in now.
Yeah.
I think I was just kidding when I said you're probably good for a while. I just think once they've tasted a little bit of the glory.
It's the thought that matters, Jay.
Not your little brain.
Yeah. Look, I'll tell you a funny story since we're completely off the rails here.
Yeah, we're going to get to John and all of it.
Let me just tell this one story. You know, Phil, because there's some things about his character he won't do, and that's one. He doesn't celebrate birthdays. He won't get gifts and all that. He won't watch comedy movies. even if they're rated PG. We went to a duck hunting trip in Mississippi, and I brought a couple movies because they said their TV didn't work. So I had a Nacho Libre. I said, Phil, you're going to love this. Phil said, no, I ain't watching that. I was like, well, just, you don't even know what it is. He was like, no. He just looked at the cover. He said, we're not watching that. I was like, but there's nothing else to watch. He would not let us watch it.
You didn't see it.
I was like, no, he would not watch it. I thought, what kind of man just says, I can get if you watch the first minute and say, it's not working for me. He said, is it a comedy? I said, yeah. He said, I ain't watching that. So I had to throw that in there.
I don't even remember that.
I was actually upset about it. I was like, Bill, you will laugh. Like, once you embrace that this is a dumb movie, but you're just watching it for humor, I said, you will like it.
Would you try it one time? Let it.
Look, we just not a cuss word in the movie. It's rated PG.
I don't know if he would like it.
I don't know. I just wanted to see. It was an experiment. I mean, I love it. But that's what that line when I said, hey,
that might
don't
be
you
a,
want to get a little taste of it?
That'd be a good In the Woods episode. We film Phil watching Nacho Libre.
You're welcome.
Cole, you got that?
I've got $100 that he never cracks a smile.
You're close.
And at the end of the show, we can say on another movie I like, why, yeah. Phil, you're an oak.
He knows me pretty well.
Oh, that was good. Let's take a quick break, Phil, and then we can get in.
Let's talk about the one we all love.
Amen.
The last time we shared the Scoremaster story, it almost crashed their website.
Really?
It's pretty impressive. So I love our listeners because they do act on these recommendations. The average person has a 97-point increase that they can add to their credit score, but a lot of them don't have an idea how to get that. So Scoremaster credit scientists discovered an algorithm that super boosts credit scores, not just a few points, but 97 points, and it does it fast. So imagine 97 points on top of your credit score if you're refinancing your home, if you're buying a car, or if you're applying for credit. Say you have okay credit, but you're buying a car. If you do Scoremaster first and you boost your score the average of 61 points in 20 days or less, you could save $9,000 over the life of your car loan. And if you raise your credit score just the average number before applying for a home loan, you could save almost $100,000 over the life of your loan. Scoremaster puts you in control of your finances. Enrollment takes just a minute or two, and you can see how many plus points you can add to your credit score at scoremaster.com/Phil. That's scoremaster.com/Phil.
I don't know where we're at.
We're in John 21. We're actually the last
few verses.
Yeah, I mean, we got, 10 verses left.
Well, he has the conversation with Peter because Peter denied him three times.
Yeah.
We talked about that, and he said, feed my lambs. I was going to make the point last podcast when we talked about that because he had just said in John 20 in verse 21, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So he tells Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. I mean, well, they had to go through the grace and the transformation. He mentions his death. I was going to make the point that I believe every person who is capable of understanding Jesus is then qualified to be sent out. Mm-hmm. I think God uses people to make Jesus known. Now, how we go about doing it is not my concern. I think we all have different avenues, different gifts, different talents.
Yeah.
But to me, this not being a spokesman for Jesus, which is the name of this, we're unashamed, is non-negotiable. So I think this trickles down. So when you read the Great Commission, where's that at? Matthew 28. Mm-hmm. I know he was speaking to these men, but I think that charge went to all of us. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. He told, in Mark's account, he said, go preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. So I just think that's what we do.
when Peter came to the end of his life, before he did that, 30 years earlier, roughly, between what John wrote and what Peter wrote in his letters, 1st and 2nd Peter. Watch. Jesus told him, feed my sheep, Peter. I tell you the truth. This is John 21, about verse, 18 or 19. He said, when you were younger, I tell you the truth. Verse 18, when you were younger, you dressed yourself, he's talking to Peter, and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Mm-hmm. Now watch. Jesus said this to indicate what kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Now watch. Peter, 30 years later, wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, I'll always remind you, in verse 12, of these qualities, godliness, self-control, perseverance, goodness, knowledge. He wanted to remind me of that. He said, I think it right, verse 15, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, his body. Now, just think about how he viewed physical death. As our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me, he went back 30 years earlier when Jesus said, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted to go. But Peter, when you're old, some other people are going to dress you and take you where you don't want to go.
Yeah.
They're going to kill you, son.
You know what I think is interesting?
Now just think about that and him talking about leaving. He ends it up by saying, I will make every effort to see that after my departure, he was just viewing physical death. Not like most people wring their hands, oh, we lost our uncle, our dad. He didn't view it that way at all. As a child of the resurrection, Peter said, after my departure, you'll always be to remember these things. He said, I'm fixing to leave my tent. The tent stays, but my soul and spirit goes on.
You know what's funny about
this? Pretty cool.
You know what's funny about that, Phil? Because 19 in John 21 says, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death which Peter would glorify God, which you referred to. But I think this is, I was going to say fun, but this is kind of cool. He then says to him, follow me.
Yeah.
Well, he's fixing to leave, so he wasn't talking about that, follow me.
That's right.
He was meaning, which was the original point here, you follow me in the way you live your life until death.
And the way you die.
Yeah,
I mean, and the way you die, and the way you die. Make it a good death, because that was going to glorify God the way he would die.
Yeah.
Book of the Martyrs, what did they say? How did they get rid of old Peter?
They say, history says that he was crucified upside down by his own request because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified and to look like Jesus.
Well, you talk about a guy with a full circle.
Whatever, but we know that he died a martyr's death because Jesus said he did. So you can write it down. So I tend to believe that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, Peter's a poster child for kind of the whole message of this podcast. I mean, this is a guy who was a coward, who was very ashamed.
Yeah,
very ashamed.
Oh yeah,
to be associated with Jesus.
I don't even know him.
Don't even know him. Three times denied him, and then that guy was was one of the most impactful.
So all the ladies and gentlemen who are listening to this, when you say, well, I feel I've done some things that were so, you say, so I believe if Jesus Christ could overlook Peter by denying him and hitting the road when it came time, push come to shove, when he's going to be crucified, and if he still was merciful toward him and brought him back in, and Peter took off, he ended up writing two books in the Bible, you just think about it, man.
I mean, I want to say
what
this.
A turnaround.
We had a guest in the duck blind today. I don't know where he's from, but I took things that he does. So I'm like, what do you do for a living? He's like, well, I drive a crop duster. Well,
airplane.
But he said crop duster.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, that's what he's like. I sprayed this field that we're hunting. I was like, oh, you know Phil? He's like, yeah. And Phil said something about, well, boy, you better. Better get in on the resurrection doing that, you know, which is not something I would have said, but I'm glad he broke the ice because I'm sure he's over his fear, but it was good.
But then, you know, you look for clever ways to bring Jesus back up, because we had wood ducks this morning, we had green-winged teal, and we had mallards. Well, he was asking us about how we eat them or whatever, and I was like, well, here's the ranking system. You have green-winged teal as far as eating, taste. You have wood ducks. Then you have everything else. And he's like, well, what are we going to do with the mallards? I said, feeding the homeless would be a good idea. I was like, and I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, because Jesus was homeless while he was on the earth, mm-hmm. which he laughed, he chuckled. But I just thought, between Phil saying the resurrection, then I introduced Jesus there, then we ended up having a Jesus conversation. Mary brought up how he was raised in church, and all of a sudden he was telling his story. None of that would have happened if you didn't find a creative way to introduce Jesus to the conversation in the duck blind. And that's my point, because people say, well, it's not my talent to speak up about Jesus. And I disagree. I think the reason people who don't speak up about Jesus is because they're uncomfortable or embarrassed at their workplace or in the car. And I just think...
afraid of the blowback.
Well, you got, Peter. Look, he was fearful for his life, so he denied.
Yeah.
But I go back to high school, it was way tougher for me then, because I knew if I brought it up, they were just going to be like piranha, because there was no doubt they were just into everything evil.
Yeah.
And I would take a swallow and say, you know what? I'm not going to sit here and do this, because it was really the only defense that worked. You start talking about Jesus in a high school setting, they think you're crazy. I mean, they're scared of you then. They're, oh, you're some kind of religious nut. Because I would do it passionately. I said, yeah, I'm the religious nut who's going to live forever. You'll be the wayward idiot. You know, I'd say stuff like that.
Let's take a quick break.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flare over it that I wouldn't be seated, so I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
In love.
Yeah, in love. But you know what? I think what the big distinction with Peter here, from coward to not being to being unashamed, from being ashamed to being unashamed, was the resurrection. Phil, your obsession in your ministry has been the resurrection. I was when you talk about the crop duster. You remember when we were on a plane somewhere, a little private King Air, and we were flying back from South Louisiana to here. And all of a sudden, I mean, it sounded like a shotgun going off. I'm just boom inside the plane. And then you just hear this sucking sound. Hmm. And, of course, I mean, I'm thinking, this thing.
It's over.
Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah.
And you had the best line ever. I mean, without missing a beat, Phil says, all right, boys, it's resurrection time.
Like, they were looking at me like.
But you, I mean, like.
Oh, the car coming out. We got a seal break out there. Everybody be all right. Everything's going to be okay. But I was thinking, all right, this is it.
Your immediate reaction was resurrection time.
Well, think about it. Everybody physically dies. Everybody.
Yeah, everybody does.
And you say, if you finally run up on a way that will conquer that, if you bow down to the God who said, I promise you, I will raise you from the dead. When you see that, you say, you know what? Until I hear a better story, I'm sticking with this one. I don't know where else to go. You know, everybody's going to die. And you say, well, if you knew you were going to be raised from the dead, would it bother you that much? Well, you would have to die with a smile on your face. Well, this is it. fixing to depart from my tent.
And this, to sum up the whole book of John, his gospel, really, it's resurrection with the purpose of being in the presence of God and being in an intimate fellowship with Him.
Yep.
And so it's even more than just being resurrected. I mean, you're being resurrected to live in the presence of
forever.
God forever. You know,
I like it.
That's powerful. That's so interesting to me. the other thing that I thought was interesting about John, about the end of it here is at the end of it, it says in verse 25 that there are also many other things that Jesus did, but we can't write them all down because we couldn't contain them in a book. Yeah. That makes me curious of what else.
Yeah, we brought that up last podcast because it's like, who else could say that? And it tells you that it's not really about getting everything written down right. Mm-hmm. Think about that.
That's right.
Because he's like, there's way more that happened. So, and he made this point in chapter 20.
But he was saying, but this is enough to do it for you.
Right. He said that in chapter 20 in verse 31 when he said, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life. That's the point.
That's the point.
And I'll tell you this. You're talking about going down, and here we go. I had the same similar plane experience just, you know, two or three times. I thought, well, that's it. And one of them, I think we brought the pilot to the Lord because he was way more scared than we were, which told you where he was at in his faith journey. But, I mean, I'm just saying, if I was going to be a pilot, I'd get to know Jesus.
That's what I told the crop duster this morning. I said, you do what? You know, he said, well, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I'm the one that cropped out your field. I said, well, good to meet you. Good night. I said, man, if anybody on the earth should embrace the resurrection, it would be a crop duster. Mm-hmm. I said, y'all rape power lines, trees, flame outs. Yeah. I mean, you know.
He showed us a picture.
He told us some wild tales.
Well, he showed a picture of his buddy who crashed it. That thing looked like a tin can. And I said, well, did he have family? And he's like, no, he lived. I was like, he lived after that? It's like these NASCAR drivers, you know, see them flip 14 times, get up there, they just walk out.
Oh, it's a dangerous job.
Oh, is it ever?
But
split-second decisions, whether you made it over the power lines or not.
But I'm like, we got a lot in common because, in a way, we'll kind of be our own pilots, I guess, once we get this body. So I just haven't taken off yet. But we will. But I did want to say this. In 22, you know, when he brought up, everybody believes this is John, when he said, Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. And because of that, you know, John, which is given credit for the same John being the revelator in Revelation, was the only disciple or I guess closest follower of Jesus that wasn't martyred. And so you kind of get that idea from what he said, but I like that little phrase, if I want him to remain alive. You know, Jesus has that power. So a lot of times, I mean, look, I didn't plan on sharing this, but we choose a family every year to help out. I might have shared this, but it was one of our longtime friends, sister in the Lord. You know, we gave him some money because she had got diagnosed with cancer, and it was just not looking real great. So we prayed, and because, I mean, this is one of, if I had a top 10 of spiritual people I've been around in my journey, she would be on there. Well, she goes, you know, for her next checkup here or whatever. Look, they're like, we can't figure out what in the world. You know, I felt like the way Missy was telling me this, of course, she had tears streaming down her face. It was like one of them where you're hitting the x-ray machine saying, what happened here, you know? And I thought, This phrase popped in my head. If I want you to remain alive, I mean, what's that to you? So I'm like,
So the cancer was gone.
Yeah, they just said it just doesn't seem what we thought it was. It's not cancerous.
Praise God.
Yeah, I was like, really? I mean, I wasn't. I mean, why do you pray hard for something and then be shocked when it happens? I guess. But I felt like, are they sure? Missy said, that's what they said.
But he does hold the keys to all of it. And I think that's
We've seen it multiple times.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, none of us escape the grave.
Well, that's right. I mean, look, this woman, I'm telling you, real spiritual people, real people close to God, mm-hmm. when you talk to them in times like this. Because Missy, she took her little basket, had her some cash hidden away because she wouldn't have taken it, you know. And but Missy said she was calm, peace. You know, she's like, I sense zero stress. Because you're thinking, oh, what am I going to say? It's going to be a rough conversation. It's like 100% at peace. So that to me, that's encouraging.
Yeah,
these are people who have really just engulfed themselves with the Spirit and this Word right here. Because mm-hmm. Really, I mean, it's like anything in life. When a crisis happens, that's kind of where you see where your faith is.
That's true. Well, we're out of time, and Jace, I'm coming over for dinner tonight, so.
No, Missy's like, do you care if Zach and your lovely wife come over for supper? I was like, well, you didn't have to ask me that.
Well, we were talking about it, and she said, well, Jace gets all finicky there in duck season, you know.
Oh, no.
So,
you're good, Zach.
I mean, rarely come in town.
I will say this. She's going to cook chili, and Phil's not going to like this. Makes him uncomfortable. She cooks the greatest pot of chili that I've ever eaten. Sorry.
Well, I'm excited now.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, I'll see you tonight, and we'll be back next time.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.